Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, Thanksgiving here is just around the corner. And we have some special thanks of our own that we want to give out to all the Master Gardeners who have helped you out during the year, and especially this new Master Gardener class that just wrapped up.
Yes, most definitely. My Master Gardeners really are just the best volunteers that anybody can really ask for. They put in so many hours giving back to the community by educating people in all different activities and events, one-on-one contacts, phone consultations, answering emails in all different respects. And they really, really are engaged volunteers, and I'm really proud and really happy and blessed to have them. In addition to giving their time, also they also give back as far as the produce that they grow at their demonstration gardens goes back to the El Pasoans Fighting Hunger Food Bank, and they surpassed over 2,000 pounds of fresh vegetables. Wow. Going directly back into the folks that need it the most. And that's a significant amount of fresh vegetables that people didn't have access to. So we're very proud of all of their efforts. And we're really excited also about welcoming a new batch of Master Gardener interns as well. Coming in, they just finished the 10-week course.
I'm curious. I know that a lot of them go into the course with a lot of hesitation, thinking, I need to learn all this. It's like, you know, like we've said before, it's a flood of information that they're getting. So are you getting comments from some of the people right at the end of the class saying, I never thought I would make it to the end, or I never thought I would learn so much?
Yes, most definitely. They come in, they're really excited because they hear about the program, have such a great reputation in the community, and they're excited. And then they come in, and that first class is all day plant physiology and botany all at one time. I mean, and they just walk away, and I can just see their eyes kind of glazing over, like, what have I done? What have I gotten myself into? And we really just say, hey, calm down. It's okay. This is, you know, really here to facilitate some learning and just, you know, increasing that knowledge base. And you don't have to remember everything. You know, it's just the start of a training. And, I mean, can you just imagine, you know, they every week, weekend after week, they come in, and there's a new instructor and a new topic. So you have John White coming in, Oscar Mestas, you know, all these folks that come on to this radio show coming in and talking about their own specific specialty. And that rotates too. And these are just wonderful group of people. And like they get engaged, they start asking questions and really getting involved in that. And then they just can't wait to get out into the gardens to start volunteering. And then once they're done, it's like, okay, well, now it's winter time, and we're going to kind of calm down because you got to give the Master Gardeners a couple of weeks to rest because they've done it all season. But they're really geared and excited to be able to start volunteering their hours. And we have another great group of people that come to us from all different walks of life and backgrounds and everything. So it's a really great group to be a part of. So the next time you see the Master Gardener volunteers or any volunteers, make sure you thank them for their time.
And I also want to encourage people to visit the El Paso Master Gardeners on Facebook. I mean, you put on so many great pictures, and it's a really great example of how involved the Master Gardeners in so many activities.
Exactly. There's a lot of great action photos because they do a lot of activities as well, and they do so many different things in all of the city parks that we're involved in, and outside activities. And they also have like veggie art. When they harvest their vegetables, they kind of do like either mosaic patterns.
Those are cute. Yeah,
aren't
I've
they cute?
Those.
Yes.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff on our Facebook page, we've also pulled that into our Instagram account, which is just all beautiful pictures to begin with too. So, you know, yeah, they're all about reaching the public or other groups that we probably haven't reached in the past. And as for right now, like I said, we are kind of winding down for the brief off season, if you will, and the Master Gardener hotline is closed. But you still can reach them. You can still contact the County Extension office, or you can also reach them by their email address.
And you were talking about Instagram, and some months ago, you were talking about a hashtag EP Gardens. Is that still going on?
We're still doing that. Yes. So please, we're trying to spread the word on that. I think people are kind of confused on how, because I was kind of confused too, how people communicate with hashtags because they're really made up words.
They're hashtags.
They're hashtags, right? So yes, yeah, so we do encourage people to use the hashtag EP Gardens of any garden that they have in El Paso County out there, and you're proud of it, show it.
People love to take pictures of their plants and their pets, right?
Yes.
So if you're taking pictures of your plants, hashtag them.
Exactly. And you'll be able to see what's going on around town.
Well, since it is the Thanksgiving season and we're sort of thinking now about holiday decor, maybe we need to think maybe a little bit about decorating. And a lot of people who really don't want to go to the hobby store or to their home improvement store to find something that they're going to have to stash away for another year, there's a lot of natural materials out around us that we might be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, definitely. The pumpkins are really popular nowadays. I mean, just on even on the ag side as far as production and getting a lot of Texas-grown pumpkins out there. And it kind of peaks out for October for Halloween. But definitely, if you have some pumpkins or squash kind of hanging out there, they're going to take on and have a long shelf life. They kind of get kind of dull after a while. That's just age, and they start to kind of dehydrate a little bit.
How long would you say their shelf life is? Because, I mean, they've been selling them since, you know, early October.
Yeah, definitely. Well, at least 5 or 6 weeks, depending on how well you take care of them. So they like a cool little area on there. They're still alive, you know, so they're still respiring as well. So don't stick them in the fridge after you're done. But, you know, if in a nice little cool area in your kitchen away from the direct heat is a great way to kind of extend their life. You can open up the pumpkin and put a vase inside of that and make it a vase as well with some fresh flower arrangements. And you can also augment using some existing plants in your garden. There's a lot of plants out there, pyracantha or even euonymus, that are really common backyard shrubs that are evergreen, and they can, you know, add that little slice of color to your tabletop.
And when you're done with that pumpkin or any other of the natural materials, you can probably use those for your mulch pile down the road.
Yeah, definitely. I got to compost that, right?
For your compost pile.
Exactly. So a big jack-o'-lantern pumpkin is going to take a while for it to compost. But this is what you got to do. Just cut it up into little smaller pieces and you're going to really expedite the process.
Because I'm going to say after about 6 weeks, that pumpkin is really not fit to eat anymore.
Yeah, it makes it a little goopy and gushy on the inside especially. So yeah, kind of keep an eye on that. But it's also a really good time to get some color in, because we've had some hard freezes too, and you know, we're also seeing some fall color out there. You know, El Paso's not really known for its fall color, but if you look really close and before, you know, any other hard freezes or even winds kick up, you'll start seeing a lot of plants getting some nice color, some ashes out there, even on campus today, walking over here too. The Vitex is even getting some nice little red color in response to these freezes.
And I think a good tree choice for people who are looking for fall color in their yards is a Chinese pistache. And those, just depending on where you are in town, I have one in my yard and it doesn't get fiery red like some others do, but you can find some Chinese pistaches around town that just have that flaming red appearance.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Those are really great for fall color as too. And then they also have some little nice little berries going on. So you can even add that for further decorative purposes.
And we also are probably going to have Christmas trees on our minds here soon. If the tents haven't already gone up by now, they will be going up for sure by Thanksgiving. So obviously questions abound. Live tree, cut tree, fake tree. What are the most common questions that you get?
All the time. I always ask, what should I buy to be the most earth friendly? Well, above and beyond, you want to buy a live Christmas tree. So this is a Christmas tree that has its own roots. So it's going to be in a container, a 10, 15 gallon pot that you're going to buy, that's going to be a live tree that you're going to bring in for the holiday season. And then you're going to put it into a nice little space out in your yard. And that's where the trick comes into, because people that are tend to be a lot really conscientious as far as being environmentally friendly may not have the space, because they may already have a lot of plants in their yard. So you have to make sure that you coordinate or get involved with a civic or a community group that can be able to acquire that donation after you're done, because there's a lot of great selections of evergreen trees that you can use for Christmas trees for the season. And keep in mind that a lot of times at these live Christmas trees, they're really good looking plants, and don't be afraid to prune it up just a little bit, or if a little limb is a little off, take it off. It's not a problem. You know, it's really not a problem. Take off that limb and turn it into some kind of other decoration
there
out there.
But, or leave it in your car, like to scent up the vehicle.
There you go. Exactly. But that's above and beyond the most earth-friendly option. And if you were looking into getting a cut Christmas tree, you want to make sure that you participate in the city recycling program too and get that back into the city so they can mulch that up and then make that available for this hot summertime to be able to be used as mulch.
Aren't those recycling centers now offering mulch year-round?
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact, and they do have an open window when they start accepting all the Christmas trees, so you can go in and dump those on that. So if you want to make sure that your tree is suitable for the mulching program, you want to make sure that you have no tinsel on there or any of that canned fake snow.
Oh, yeah.
So don't flock the tree and don't practice that if you want to make sure that it goes back into being recycled material.
And another little tree that we usually see available around Christmas is those Norfolk pines, which are just the prettiest little things, but they're not meant to be outdoors.
Right, exactly. And they're pretty and they're dainty and they're almost like they're feathery in a way, a very soft look to them, but they are not by any means cold hardy plants at all. So they do definitely need to be protected and kept inside too. And then, you know, as the colder temperatures come into play, we're also going to have our other extreme. We have our heat coming in from our furnaces, that dry heat that's going to come in, and you want to make sure that you keep the plants that are going to be susceptible to those extreme temperatures protected. The Norfolk is great. Also, I've seen a lot of even rosemary bushes that are kind of pruned into more of a little triangular shape.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So maybe not the look that you're looking for your garden, for
but
your
it
rosemary.
Smells great.
But it smells great. It's a great option, and it's a great landscape option for El Paso, too. So that's another option to be able to look for, and both of those are live trees, so they're in their own roots, and they'll make a great little addition to your backyard garden.
And we've got a couple of minutes still, but poinsettias, I think, are going to be something that we're going to be seeing in the store soon. If maybe somebody is looking to get one that may last them through the Christmas season, is there anything in particular they need to look for?
Yes, most definitely. People scoop up all those poinsettias because they're really inexpensive. Like they're part of like these big holiday buying events. And you can get all these pots for really cheap. People start complaining because they start dying on them. And well, the best thing to do is make sure that you take out all that plastic sleeve, all that covering. That's coming directly from the greenhouse where it's grown. And it's packed that way for shipping purposes. And of course, they keep them that way in the home garden centers because they want to move them quickly. But when you get them home, you got to take off that outer clear plastic covering on there. And then you want to make sure that you water it thoroughly, but you don't want to leave that, you know, red or green foil or plastic shape covering to cover up that pot on there, and you don't want to rot out that poinsettia plant as well. And those guys don't like the cold either, so you want to make sure that you keep them nice, brightly lit, away from any kind of drafts or any kind of direct.
Well, the ironic thing is that they're tropical plants.
Yeah, so they
don't, know, for Christmas season, which seems almost backwards.
Exactly.
So that's why they don't like the cold. And you can actually keep a poinsettia around year-round. It may or may not flower again for you, but they're really attractive leaves. You know, anybody else who maybe in the summer sees your poinsettia plant from the prior Christmas season, you know, 6 months later, they're not going to realize that that was a poinsettia, but it's still a really nice houseplant.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they all come in all different kinds of colors, but by far, the red standard poinsettia is by far the favorite. And there's so many different colors, cream and yellow and nice little peach colors, but so explore.
Well, we are out of time, but we have more of your December gardening / holiday decorating tips on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And we want to thank our engineer for today, Katie McCormick. And we want to thank you for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.